Hello, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Remarkable Women. My name is Danielle McLeod, and I am co-founder of Remarkable Women, where women with a heart for the world come together to create a life of more joy and more impact. And what we've found over the last few years is that many, many women are in this conversation around wanting to make a difference in the world, but holding back mainly because they don't want the cost of success. They don't want the cost to their health, the cost to their relationships, the cost to wealth. They don't want to be in toxic businesses, whatever that looks like. We're seeing women hold back. And so our work in the world is to encourage women into more impact and more joy. And we are in conversation regularly with great women inside of our world, inside of our community, and also with women outside of our community. And today I am honored and delighted to have Claire Dale with us, who is the co-author of an amazing book called Physical Intelligence. And Claire, I like to think of you as being partially in our community because your book was sent to me by one of my clients who said, you must read this, it's brilliant. So chuffed to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here. And just to say that that same client said, you must meet this woman, Danielle. So I think it was reciprocated.
Oh, well, that's so lovely. And I want to say to our listeners and watchers, I'm going to hold the book up for, you can see it's got lots of notes in it from me. For those of you who are watching on video, Physical Intelligence has just this week, I think, won Self-Development Business Book of the Year. Is that right?
That's right. Business Book of the Year 2020 in the personal development category. We're just over the moon. It means such a lot. It's just over a year since the book came out, and we've had huge success. Daily Mail women's page, and then the sales rocketed, and lots of women's press have picked it up. I was going to speak at She Started It live a few weeks ago, but that was obviously suffered because of the pandemic. But it's a book that's been really picked up with, of course, a community that's very, very close to my heart.
And I've got so many places I want to dive in with you today. And just for context to all our listeners, normally we're recording podcasts several months in advance. And we're going to release this one with Claire straight away, because as we speak today, I think we're in day four of lockdown in the UK and Scotland over coronavirus. And so, of course, this book, Physical Intelligence, which really has us tap into the smarts of our body and to leverage that, just feels really, really important right now. And I speak as someone who's also certified as an eating psychology coach. And my experience of working with women around body is very often they're like heads being carried around by a body. And it's almost like if they could discard the body, that would be a great thing. And of course, Claire, your background's dance, right? So it must be very different for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I've always lived in my body. It has been literally a lifeline. And actually what I realized, I mean, I've gone through very many different phases of relationship with my body. What I do, and certainly as a very young dancer, it was all about being thin enough to be on stage. And actually, to be honest, at that point, my nutrition wasn't great. But as young dancers, somehow we managed to dance for six, seven, 8 hours a day on a packet of tomatoes and so on. But actually, the important thing that I learned through that, because I got help through that, not that I was anorexic, but that I was aware that I had this image of my body that had to strive for some image of perfection. And even now, I think that it's so easy for all of us, whatever age we are, to look in the mirror and immediately critique. Not from a sense of I want to be beautiful, but just even if we really love our bodies, to just analyze it and critique it. And I think we've ended up in a rather loveless marriage, actually, with our bodies. And you know what? It's an arranged marriage. We've only got the one. We can't change it. We can't get a divorce.
I love
we
that.
Have
I love
to start that. Loving the body that we're in, literally appreciating the fact that this body is an incredible piece of intelligent design. And trillions of processes are are going on every single second. Hundreds of chemicals are racing around our bodies and brains in our bloodstream and our nervous system. And we can do more to influence those chemicals because they fundamentally influence how we think, how we feel, how we speak, and how we behave. Mm. So we've got a lot more agency than we think. And your image of head carried around by body, I mean, I think we're all familiar with it. When things get tough, we forget about the body, but actually we need to be tuning in and letting the body speak back to us about what's happening with the chemistry and adapt it.
Oh, I can see we could go for hours. This is a real passion subject for me. And I love what you've said, because I'm so often speaking to clients and saying, you know, this is the most spectacular machine ever invented. And yet we all, exactly as you say, just want to critique. And I think in this time where we're all social distancing, isolating to some extent, you know, even to the point where I was broadcasting this morning on a Facebook Live and laughing because I'd cut my own fringe because I couldn't go to the hairdressers this weekend, and kind of laughing as well and saying, you know, my roots are going to be pretty terrible in 3 months' time, if that's the point at which we can return. And then I just kind of laughed and I thought, well, what a gift that would be, actually, to maybe not to feel like I have to show up perfect all the time. And so from a cosmetic perspective, I think it's really interesting times where women might be relaxing their sense of how they look because people are going to see less of them in reality over the next few weeks. And for me, Claire, so exciting that this also represents an opportunity while the noise in the world settles to tune into and elevate the signals from the body to help us get through what is an unknown experience for most of us in our lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. These are incredible times. And I find such a mix of chemical reactions going on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, particularly when I switch the news on, I'm drawn to two things. One is high cortisol. My cortisol spikes immediately because we're being told what's coming. Mm. We're going to lose people. Mm. And we're hearing that now. And then also when you see what's happening around the world, then there's the incredible compassion and sense of global connection. So the chemistry at the moment is fascinating and really quite wonderful in a way, because our cortisol levels are high because we're under threat. Mm. And yet the chemical that balances that is our oxytocin, our social bonding and trust and relationship building chemical. Mm. And that kicks in to lower our cortisol and tells us that we can't live without each other. Mm. And there, I think the body plays in again. You know, we can conjure up oxytocin as we're doing now by reaching out to others. In fact, there's great research from Carolina University that talks about how people who enjoy helping each other have lower biomarkers for serious illness.
Wow.
Than people who tend not to help or enjoy that kind of activity. Mm. So, you know, we can help ourselves to be healthier by helping others. And here we are in a situation where the people we probably need to worry most about are those that are living alone, literally. Now, some people will be fine and will be fine in their own company, but I do know personal experience, friends, colleagues, people who are living alone tend to be struggling more because they haven't got any physical contact. Perhaps some people have had the virus and they've been through that illness, but alone. Mm. They really appreciate every single comment that you can post and the moments when you can reach out unsolicited. Reaching out really helps, and it's that oxytocin that makes them feel safe again. We feel very threatened when we're isolated, and this is a hugely isolating time.
I love that.
What I wanted to say was that, you know, we've reframed this because it suddenly came to me, this is not social distancing that we're doing here. We're doing physical distancing and we're creating social closeness. And those are quite different things.
Mm. Yeah, now I feel I have a title for the podcast already. I always like to hear what comes out. And I love that, you know, because you're absolutely right. I mean, yesterday I did a thing I've never done before, which is I literally just picked up my phone and I left 1 minute WhatsApp recorded messages for 60 plus women in our community, because I thought, do you know, normally I might pop a little text in and say, how are you doing? And I thought, do you know, right now we need to hear each other's voices. You know, there's more to, and I think there's a thing about the voice even that's, and I know you talk about voice control in the book, there's a thing about the voice that it can be really soothing, right? There's something about just a gentle voice and listening to it that helps you relax a bit more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's literally the frequency of sound waves that come when we resonate in the chest and when we lengthen the vowel sounds that are where the emotion is sited in our language. So it's very different if I say to you, I'm very sorry to hear that you've experienced that, than if I say, I'm very sorry to hear that you've experienced that. Mm. It's a very different feel. There isn't the time for feeling if you scurry through the vowels. So before this, we were talking about people speaking fast at the moment.
Yeah.
Because everybody's trying to find the way through and everyone's trying to get everything online. And of course, that's right. And it's going to be competitive in that arena. And we're going to learn a lot about technology and how to create connection through technology. Mm-hmm. And it is, you're right, the voice is really important. And it literally changes the chemistry of the other. So we work a lot with technical specialists and help them to communicate in this framework of chemicals. So these might be scientists or technical specialists that are looking for an intellectual framework that helps them understand why lengthening a vowel sound or telling a story about that aspect of their research might create a different chemistry in the senior leaders who are evaluating whether their projects get funded or not. Mm. And some excellent research can be forgotten and left to one side, and we corporately, that's at a great cost unless researchers and scientists learn and technical specialists learn to communicate better. And it's great fun to do that with the scientific framework of physical intelligence.
Mm. I love that, because we teach this model of what we call queen leadership and this way of showing up in the world. And what I say is the difference between a queen and a warrior, i.e. someone who's just fighting through, you can say exactly the same words, but it is the tone and the pace with which you say those words that has you convey an entirely different sense of meaning and safety and purpose and whatever else you want to roll in. Because I'm remembering you have a RADA background as well, that's right, so a kind of drama side as well as the dance, right?
That's right, yes.
It's so really powerful. I think just teaching, you know, for me, there's certainly, I'm finding that when I'm speaking to clients right now, and I can speak really quickly, it's part of who I can be when I'm energetic, that I'm really consciously slowing down my voice in hope that it will slow them down. And what you're saying is that is an effective technique, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's part of the mirror neuron and oxytocin effect, that we mirror each other, we hear each other. And that's by taking on board how somebody else is speaking, by imagining that we're doing it ourselves. So as you speak to me, I'm imagining that I'm you. And it's not something I have to try to do. I can try to do it more and it really helps the oxytocin release. But actually it's something that we innately do, because it's how we understand how other human beings might be feeling. Mm. So it's a core part of empathy. Mm. And you know, as you say, it's very much in, when we want to join and align with others, then we hope that they might understand us by aligning with us and taking on our pace or our tone. And if they don't take it on, at least, you know, hearing it and understanding it. Mm. And what's interesting from the chemical perspective there, and this is where physical intelligence work and communication work, which is what I do with RADA Business, really link. So when you slow down your speech, not only do I get the oxytocin boost from the longer vowels, if you're giving longer vowels, but I also get a sense of there's time for this. Mm. I get a sense that you're in a non-adrenalized, you know, baseline cortisol is in a good stable place. And then I start to think better and listen better, because what's happening is acetylcholine, the opposite chemical, the balancing chemical to adrenaline, is kicking in and giving us that clarity of thought. And, you know, it creates homeostasis. So it literally creates a balance in every cell of our body that enables our focus to go on what someone else is saying, rather than, are they feeling, am I all right? Are we all right here? So it uses different circuitry in the brain. The chemicals create different circuitry in the brain, and they make a lot of difference to how both we feel and how others receive us and feel in response to us. And that's the good old adrenal function. That is about where our stability as professionals, as parents, as, you know, in every role of our lives, with any challenge, we want our adrenals to have a good level of a fundamental steroid called DHEA. That stands for dehydroepiandrosterone. And I don't think there's any need to remember the long version.
Thank goodness for that.
DHEA. And this is an amazing chemical. It's, funnily enough, it's the synthetic version is a banned substance for Olympic athletes, but we can make it and make it in greater quantities every single day if we use paced breathing. So a regular breath pattern used for 10 to 20 minutes a day will take you in, your will replenish these deep tanks of DHEA, which is a in the adrenals, and they give you emotional stability and vitality and longevity. And the research on that is quite fun. So I think it was 80 bankers in South Africa were tested on biofeedback machines, so they could see the impact that the breath was having on their heart and brain function, so how they were firing. And they were extremely stressed to start with, and probably not making the best decisions. We don't make the best decisions when we're stressed out. And they did 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening using a regular paced breath pattern to stabilize the heart brain function, literally the electrical connection between the brain and the heart. And they achieved 42% reduction in stress symptoms, but here we go, a massive 62% improvement in cognitive function on complex decision-making tasks.
I love that, because you may or may not be aware, my partner Nick is a meditation monk, among other things. And of course, often when we are in conversation with people about the power of meditation, which of course is one form of paced breathing, I love what you're saying here, because I love that you are putting the really strong science and the chemical response behind it. Because sometimes I can say to people, whether you feel you like it or not, and whether you think it's nice or not, and whether you're frustrated with it or not, the body is still doing the work for you while you're performing some kind of paced breathing. Would you be willing to share what your recommended technique is in that space, so we've got something different for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that whatever you do, if it's a regular ratio breathing, whatever kind of meditation, whatever it is, it will do the job. The simplest version is to establish good grounding in your body, so feet on the ground, so that your diaphragm can move freely. Funnily enough, if you have your feet off the ground and abdominal muscles tighten, that directly tightens the diaphragm, so your breath pattern will be less able to be smooth and deep and regular. So you want your feet on the ground, sitting tall, so you've got space for your breath. And then you just want to let the breath fill the abdomen rather than the upper chest, simply that. So you just imagine you've got a little weight just sitting on your shoulders, and another couple of weights sitting, you know, on the elbows, so that the clavicles, this top part here of the body, these clavicles, these shoulder bones here, are collarbones rather, are dropped. And once you've done that, you'll find that the breath just drops down into the body easily.
I'm doing it as you're speaking and I'm like, oh, this is lovely.
Yeah. Now, I mean, then it's quite good to do it with closed eyes to begin with. All I recommend people do, and we teach this all over the world, is just to tune in and find a kind of non-invasive count. It's just in the back of your mind. You let a measure, a little metronome come in, and you count your breath in and you count your breath out. And you do a few of those and just see where the count settles. And I will stress, you're not trying to dominate the breath or over control it, but you're going to let it find its regular pacing.
I seem to be a four.
So I'm always on 4-4. I don't know whether it's the dancer in me, because we danced on fours and eights so much. It was a relief if we got threes, you know, until I'm a contemporary dancer. So I started to play around really in my career with very non-traditional musics as well. I was a you know, contemporary artist, so obviously I was going to be experimental. But in terms of music, a lot of the music we listen to is on fours and eights. Mm. So it's not uncommon to be on a four or a six. Some people like four in and five out, slightly longer out breath, some people think is good. And it is good if you're stressed, a slightly longer out breath, because you need to expel more carbon dioxide that builds up in the lungs as part of the threat response. Mm. Long story there, but if you hold on to carbon dioxide and don't breathe well, that in itself will build your cortisol levels. So unwittingly, even if you don't start stressed, if you stop breathing, you will be stressed after 10 minutes.
This is super helpful for me, because I can experience high cortisol through tests and stuff. So I'm like, well, this is lovely. Even if nobody else was listening, it's perfect for me. So thank you. Claire, one of the things I noticed about your book, which I think is so lovely about it, is this... there's a real range of physical stuff going on in there. And so I love that we are calling people to, it's so important to just slow down the speech, to pace the breath, and just create that sense of calm and more time. And then I'm minded that looking through the book again this afternoon, and it's one of those books, guys, that you're just going to have to read many times and get your notepad out and be practicing different things. There's so much in there. I was looking at the section on optimism, as I thought, you know, in these times where people are worried about their jobs or their health or how much money's in the bank, much more so than they might be normally, creating healthy optimism is going to be a really key thing. And I laughed when I remembered the section which was about jumping. So really quite different to pace breathing, right? There's a section in there which invites us to jump more. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, you know, we jump for joy, don't we? That's a colloquial expression in the English language. We jump for joy. So if we feel joy, we jump. Well, I mean, let's just do an experiment without doing the jumping. But if I asked you now to do a sigh of relief, if you do that now, and everyone listening, and just do another one, just because we can. Now, don't tell me you don't feel relief.
No, and I'm smiling straight away. Yeah, it's great.
So we can, whenever we want to, we can conjure up a feeling of relief. So if we sigh with relief when we want to let off some tension, that's our body taking over. What about if we do that when we notice we've got tension build up sooner than the body might need to do itself, so that we maintain more homeostasis throughout our lives? So if that applies to a feeling of relief, because I'm not going to get up and jump now, right? And I'm not going to get you to get up and jump.
I'm quite tempted to, but I don't think it'll be a good view on camera.
If you, I mean, anything with a bounce in it, you know, if you can buy a small trampette, we've got one downstairs in the kitchen, which, makes jumping a little bit easier on the knees and the ankles and so on. But anything that bounces will literally, well, one thing it does is it stimulates the lymph system. So all of your drainage of toxins just gets an immediate boost. Mm. And the second thing that it does is in the fluids, in this, every cell in the body is full of fluid, and on every cell wall are receptors. Now, emotions are strands of neuropeptides, right? They're chemicals, and they, negative emotions have like a little key on them. And have you ever got your put the wrong key in a lock?
Yeah.
And got it stuck, and then you thought it was the right key, it was the wrong key, and you can't get it out. Well, that's what happens with the neuropeptides that are negative emotions. They've gotten into some cells because there were overload of them, toxic chemicals. They've gotten into the cells because the end bit looks a bit like some good stuff for the cells, and the cells can't release them. So actually, if you start bouncing, you get the fluid in every cell in the body and surrounding the cells moving. So it's like you literally flush out the chemistry of negative emotion. And once you do that, and that would be all the byproducts of cortisol over a longer period of time might stick in the body, or grief or loneliness, all these emotions that say, cry and release the diaphragm, or reach out to somebody. That's what emotions are for. They're designed to tell us that we need action, to take action as human beings. But over time, if we don't drain those negative emotions out of the system through some kind of flush, they stick around, and that's what creates ill health. Mm. And can create enormous problems in the body.
I just think this is stacking up to be very exciting routines for us all, because so far we've got 20 minutes of just counting the breath in and out, a conscious intention to slow down the way we speak. And then how many jumps do we need to do to do the flush?
Well, have a look in the book. And I think, you know, that depends on your physiology. So mm-hmm. I'm going to leave that to you. Do what feels good. You know, if it's 10 bounces or jumps and rest, if it's 5, and rest, good. If you don't ever want to leave the ground fully, but you just want to bounce up and down on your heels, that's good too. Mm. Or even bouncing into the knees. Mm. Yeah. So I'm not going to prescribe the number, but I'll leave it to you. But then if you bounce and then rest, and then bounce and then rest, and then bounce and then rest, that tends to flush the best.
Mm. Okay? And a really great thing for parents who are homeschooling right now to do with the kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, keep them physical, and definitely between lessons, as it were, you know, and a lot of parents are grappling with their own stress levels around trying to get their heads around material they might have never done, or they did many years ago. Yeah. Or they were never very good at that subject. And the minute they see it, they go into a cortisol response. So parents, use your breath right now. You know, whatever it is, admit to you, I don't know that. Let's work it out together is a very good response if you don't know, rather than thinking your kid's going to discover how dumb you are or whatever, you know. So anyway, use your breath in that context. Where were we?
So we were playing with optimism.
Yes.
And yeah, well, here's where I want to go next, because I think we're lining up some really nice techniques that are super, super simple for everybody to play with right now. I'm going to flip back a little bit in the book, and apologies to everybody, but there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on. The other one that struck me, because there's loads in the book that is, it really touches on every part of life, nutrition, all kinds of different movement. But the one that struck me that could be problematic for everybody right now is posture. So everybody's going to be working from home. If you don't have a setup at home that is, you know, most people are not going to have home offices set up that really support them. Tell us a bit about your recommendations on maintaining posture, and maybe just a couple of or one great technique that everybody could put into their daily routine that would have them know that the body's got some attention from a posture perspective.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think the principle of lengthening your spine and letting your body spread out a little bit is really important. Now, the principle of taking up space, we probably, everybody knows Amy Cuddy's work around power pose, and
love
then science was challenged a little bit, well, a lot. And then we realized that although it was difficult to replicate some of the science, the anecdotal and the scientific experiments on what happened when you expanded your body and then communicated or pitched for investment or went for a job that felt more confident, this stands up. So we're confident about, there's something about opening out the body that does make a change in our systems. So we have always called this the winner pose, right? And when we heard about the book award last Monday, boy, I mean, there were three of us sat on the sofa and the dog, and our arms were up in the air, just in, you know, innately. And my, you know, Pat was over in Arizona. She was doing exactly the same. So were our business partners down in Farnham, arms in the air. The winner pose is what we do when we win. So if we're feeling like we're sort of on a losing battle with some kind of situation in our lives, then our posture will diminish and we'll go into a C shape of the spine, will slouch or crumple. And this is what we, you know, this is a high cortisol, like it's like a fetal shape, which is where we recover. And high cortisol, well, there's two different things there. So if when we're in retreat, what we're saying is cortisol's been high through the day, so I'm going to go into a fetal position to recover. But it's a signal of retreat, if that makes sense. So high cortisol causes us to retreat. So when we slouch our body, what our body is reading is that we've given up, that we've taken ourselves out of the battle or out of the stresses and strains of life, and we become less risk tolerant. Mm. So again, it's like everything else with the body. If we tell ourselves that we're out of the battle, or we can't, you know, we're not confident enough to go out there anymore. If we tell ourselves that and slouch our bodies, then guess what? We'll start to feel and create that very reality. Mm. So I want you to really think about lengthening as much of the day as you can if you're at a screen, lengthening a string from the center of the top of the head, suspending you so you're very lightly suspended, and then the shoulders floating out to touch the sides of the room. And you can imagine, and we write this in the book, you imagine you've got a very powerful floodlight behind your body and you've got a white wall in front of you. And as you shine the powerful floodlight through your body, you can see that there's space between all the bones. And you can breathe into that space and you feel long and wide and grounded. Okay, does that image work for you? Can you imagine that?
It's just brilliant. I mean, I literally, as you were saying, because I've often known about the, and of course I've read it in the book, but I've forgotten it. I've always known about the string thing, but where you said have the shoulders reach to the sides of the room, that for me was really powerful. Like I could really feel myself opening up as a consequence of it. And I want to say I wonder if everybody who's listening to this is doing the same as me. But as we've been having this conversation, I've, of course, and you're skilled at this, been making a very conscious effort to mirror how you've been speaking. You've really helped me to slow down my pace. My feet are grounded on the floor right now, and I realize that's not how I would typically sit. The moments where we've just breathed, or I've felt myself get taller as we've been in this conversation. I mean, I can tell already that there's movement inside my body, you know, things are flowing differently. Mm. And so that's been in the space of a 40 minute conversation. Mm. And so, you know, if anyone's doubting it, guys, I'm going to tell you as a personal experiment, I've been playing with everything Claire's been saying as she's been saying it, it worked. And I'm excited to share this with everyone because there's nothing here where you could say, I don't have time. It's nothing.
That's right. They're short interventions, mm. and yet they have a power, especially if you build them up into some kind of routine, or at least really develop your awareness. And we definitely big on routines, mm. because if you place things that you want to become new habits next to things that you always do anyway, you've got to hope a good running chance, you know, you've got a hope in hell of remembering that, because then you don't actually have to rely on short-term memory or willpower, which are quite weak or short, or, you know, low power. Much higher power is, you know, when you close your front door in the morning, that's a great time to, if we were going out, okay, so this is when we get back out there, or maybe it's better example now is when you make a cup of tea in the morning, you know, you choose that moment of pressing the go on the kettle to use it as a trigger to lengthen and widen your posture.
As you speak, I'm thinking, because we really love this thing about habits too, and of course everyone's habits have been thrown out the window right now. I find it very frustrating. I spent a long time building my rhythms, and of course they're affected now by I can't go to the gym, you know, lots of things have changed. And I thought, what could I do that would have me think differently when I sit down, like be different? And I thought, well, I could easily change my password to breathe, or to sit tall, or feet on the ground. You know, that's a really easy place to play, because I have to type that in every day, and just the doing that would have me remember to do it, right?
I love that. I think that's a really, really great idea. And I want to say to all the listeners, you know, whilst we've been talking about cortisol down and draining negative emotions and boosting DHEA, we haven't talked about one really important chemical that is important for optimism and well-being and self-esteem, and that's serotonin. And so, you know, you want to be as well doing twists and flexibility movements through your day, because serotonin, as everybody knows, I'm sure everybody knows, is well-being, balance, happiness, self-esteem. But it's also partially responsible for the flexibility and suppleness of the connective tissue between muscle and bone. And when we get high cortisol and a little bit dehydrated, maybe this is why hydration is so important, and the body gets tighter, and you know that feeling of tension where you just can't get to bed, and you've built up tension and you can't release it because it's gone too far, and you want to try and keep the flexibility in the body, so you keep the serotonin levels, the serotonin release through the body, and the use of it in the suppleness of the tissue. And I mean, serotonin is an expansive chemical. You know, when you feel happy, you want to go, that's great, let's party, you know. And when you are not feeling very happy, you know that there's tension or collapse in the body when serotonin goes low. And we also feel this in the brain and in the mind. So I do want you to think about expansion and breath as part of an important rebooting of serotonin as well. So optimism really comes from oxytocin and serotonin, those two.
I'm loving this, because as you speak, I'm just like, and of course, this is the power of the book. This is why people are enjoying it so much. It's like the body can do all this for us at super low effort. You know, this is super low effort. This is like, put your feet on the ground properly, slow your voice down, do a few jumps, twist the body, breathe. These are not ridiculous instructions. And yet what you and Patricia are so beautifully doing is linking the science to the impact. And you're saying these tiny things redirect the chemicals in the body to give you so much more power to be alive and impactful and energetic in your day.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, you know, we've had clients coming and telling us that, you know, when we've worked with a sales team, particularly one I'm thinking about in the pharmaceutical sector, and they've done these, they've really worked hard on their physical intelligence from all aspects for a 3-month period. Their commercial deals improved by 12.5%.
Wow.
So, you know, we think our performance bar is just what we can do because our brain is producing, but our body, our physical intelligence is really underpinning our cognitive and emotional intelligences. Mm-hmm. It's not just alongside, it actually underpins it. You can't have the other two without taking care of your physical intelligence. Mm-hmm. And that's our big mission, you know, too many people for too long have been holding the body as too low down on the list of priorities. And it's amazing. And we need to reboost that up, elevate it, and have it underpinning our performance in whatever realm of life we're in.
And have it be our friend, right? Because I think what's so exciting about this, and I say this with a husband who's a triathlon trainer, and you know, we're exercisers in this house, but this doesn't require you to go to the gym. It's not a get sweaty. Wherever your body is at, most people can access, well, everybody can access breathing, you know, let's be honest. And then, you know, beyond that, all of these things are pretty accessible and ridiculously simple.
Yeah. Actually.
And what I love, having sat here and just been reminded of it all with you and moving my posture as you speak and teach, is I can feel the difference immediately. You know, it would be balmy to not do the simple things that enable us to live through this time with a renewed energy and less of the social distancing and more of the physical distancing, right? I mean, I just love that you said that earlier. Claire, this has just been such a powerful conversation. Before we close, is there anything else you would like to offer? Like, if there was one thing you're like, guys, just pay attention to this right now, what would it be?
I think the thing of the moment really is to know that you can boost your own oxytocin levels so you can feel connected with others by imagining them, literally by imagining putting your arms around them and imagining them there, close your eyes. You can get a boost of oxytocin that will give you a sense of connection, even if you're not able to be socially with them at this point.
My partner Nick will be cheering you on with that. We have a meditation on our YouTube channel, if you haven't seen it, called the Pink Light Technique, and it does exactly that. So we were actually teaching it this morning, funnily enough, on our Facebook. So that's just beautiful. Claire, it's just been a complete pleasure to speak to you. I want to say a huge thank you to you for making the time to be with me tonight. I just know this is going to be a top-notch people are going to take so much from this podcast episode. I'm holding up the book for those of you who can see it. And I'm going to remind you again, it's called Physical Intelligence and it's by Claire Dale and Patricia Payton. Patricia's in America, so she's not with us today, but she's part of the talent that brought this together. And I want to say, for those of you who want to get in touch with us, come and find us at www.remarkablewomen.co.uk. But for now, Claire, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Danielle. It's been a complete pleasure, and I think you are a remarkable woman.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll see you soon for another episode.